On this Friday afternoon, we're joined by Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions in Agrible to take a look at the weather forecast. What a beautiful day it is. What a beautiful week it's been. And I suppose farmers would kind of like it to stay that way across the Corn Belt as we head into harvest and fall. What do you see for the next week or so?
Well, the good news is that our pattern is relatively dry for the next week, maybe even out through the next 10 days. I don't see anything that can sweep through and really draw enough moisture out of the tropics to give us a lot of rainfall. And that's certainly a far cry from what we saw in 2018 and 2019. So with a crop that's finishing well, even though there were some struggles, of course, across the state with some drought, especially in August and early September, you know, we're working our way toward a better end of September, beginning of October. But those temperatures are pretty chilly right now, and, you know, compared to what we've had, and we're transitioning into fall. And as a result, we should be expecting that a lot more.
Will we get warmer than we have been recently? Because it's just been really nice, although it's not that late in the year yet.
No, it's not. But in the near term, this weekend, we're going over cool. So we've got a cold front that swept through yesterday. So certainly we felt it this morning. I left all the windows open in the house, and I'm now wearing sweatpants all morning long, working from home again. But you know, the issue is going to be that tomorrow morning on Saturday, I'm seeing a large section of northern Wisconsin, much of Michigan, parts of the Northeast, and parts of Indiana that could be seeing a patchy frost. So the northern counties in Indiana right now are subject to a frost. I've not seen it through Illinois. We will have a cool night, but nothing like that. But then you ask, what about after that? Well, it seems as though the pattern's going to relax a little bit. And while we're going to be relatively dry, we're also going to be seeing temperatures possibly rebounding back up there to where we get those daytime highs in the low 80s, which will feel great here as we end September and start the month of October.
Hey, can I take you back to earlier in the year with the cold that dipped into the northwestern Corn Belt? Because Nutrien Ag Solutions has a bigger footprint, or did have a bigger footprint in that part of the world. What do we know about the damage that was done in the Dakotas?
Well, that's a great question. So remember, it was actually multi-seasonal problems heading up to that, right? So they had the big freeze that came in last year during harvest, locked everything in. They tried to harvest everything at the beginning of the year. Then there was that freeze event back in parts of May. And then they just had the cold snap that came in about a week and a half ago, which ended their season. So at this particular point, I think what's going on here is that folks are out trying to figure out what did finish, what they're going to be able to get out of the fields. But yeah, they've had their season bookended here with some cold weather. And it's warm now, but it's past the point that they had that frost, for example, in North Dakota just a week and a half ago that caused some problems.
The other big event in the United States is Hurricane Sally. It came on shore and just dumped a lot of water. It was a slow mover. What happened there?
Yeah, really slow mover. About 2.5 miles an hour at one point was its forward speed. And so there are places down in parts of the panhandle of Florida, getting into parts of Alabama, Georgia, North and South Carolina, but really in Alabama and Florida where we saw upwards of 1 to 2 feet of rainfall. And then as it's moving through parts of the Carolinas, we added another 6+ inches across a pretty broad sector there. So that's really tough this time of year for that area trying to get a lot of harvest done. But it's been a very, very active hurricane season in terms of naming these systems. And I'm now watching another one coming out of the Bay of Campeche, which is down near the Yucatan Peninsula. So we might be seeing more flooding rains coming into coastal Texas, maybe getting farther inland in Texas, Louisiana, before that system might cut toward Louisiana into the lower Mississippi River Valley when we get into next week. So we are nowhere near done with this hurricane season. And by the way, if that one gets named, it will be our last name on the name list, and it'll be called Wilfred. So this is really moving along quickly.
Is that what, Tropical Depression 21?
Yeah, 21. So every single tropical depression we've had this year has made it to tropical storm status and gotten a name. And it's been one of those years where we're finding lots of these systems spinning up, and we're going to continue to do that. Got to remember, we still have the whole second half of the hurricane season to be going through here.
You know, as I think about it, though, 21 out there, and they've all been named systems, but I don't recall that many of them.
Yeah, a lot of them have stayed out to open oceans. So one of our more powerful one right now is Hurricane Teddy, Category 3 strength hurricane, but it's moving toward Bermuda, may possibly get pulled into the Northeast. Now, not like the megalopolis of New York, Boston, down to D.C., but much farther north toward like Maine and possibly into the Canadian Maritimes, could get pulled into there early next week. So yeah, there's been several that have stayed out to open ocean, and that's an interesting byproduct of our abilities nowadays. You know, 30 years ago, our ability to remotely sense and watch and monitor and measure hurricanes out in the middle of the Atlantic wasn't nearly what it is today. So we can see these things, fly into them, observe them from space, and therefore they're getting those names.
How many of them have been strong enough to really make note of?
Yeah, well, we think back and we had Isa, Is, and Laura. Those were pretty powerful ones. And of course, Sally. So when we look at the total accumulated cyclone energy, that's a metric that we use to measure really how bad a hurricane season was in terms of the strength of hurricanes. This season, even though we've had so many named systems, is actually just a hair above average on total accumulated cyclone energy. So while we may go well past the total number of named systems, like from a big season like 2005, 2005 had us just completely beat for in terms of the total accumulated cyclone energy.
The other weather system that we probably should touch on again is La Nina.
Yeah, and it's strengthening right now, and we anticipate it to continue to do that through our fall and winter. And I think the major implications around here is La Ninas tend to give us a bit of a drier fall. Okay, but again, that's always putting in there the wild card of a tropical system coming up the gut of the Mississippi, for example. But I think the attention will be down in South America, where, you know, they've been able to plant now for a few days in like Mato Grosso, but they're going to continue to be dry for the next week. And if I even look out over the next month, while the rains will return, it looks as though the total deficit over the next month could be to the tune of about 4 inches. But remember, a 4-inch deficit for them is not like a 4-inch deficit for us, given that it's a monsoonal tropical kind of rainfall down there. But if it delays planting of soybeans, we could start to see something happening later on with the delay in the planting of the safrina crop. So South America is going to be square in our sights, and I think you and I will be talking about that for the next, several months of our Fridays here.
I bet we will. Hey, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Eric Snodgrass is with Nutrient Ag Solutions and Agrible. Joined us here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Medium. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand wherever you'd like at willag.org on the website. Just click and play from that, or if you'd prefer, you can check us out in your favorite podcast applications. Just search for the Closing Market Report or Commodity Week. Either of those programs are available as a podcast in places like SoundCloud and Stitcher, NPR One, Spotify, Google Podcast, and Apple Podcast too. You have a very good afternoon and a great weekend. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.